2 seconds. Okay, Leon, I'm just sitting here with Leon right now and just watching, actually, in the background as a cat tears down some housing. And talking to Leon, he just came out of the tent. Yesterday, the bylaw was coming hard and heavy. What happened yesterday, Leon?
Well, basically, they want us to move to over to Strathcona Park. They want to move over by the pool. And they said, oh, we'll make sure we have a safe spot. I said, I don't want to go anywhere where I have to take my tent down.
Right.
So I don't want to take my tent down. And they said, oh, we'll get you a place where you don't have to take your tent down.
But how old are you?
I'm 68. I'll be 69.
69, yeah. So, okay. So 68 right now?
Yeah.
Happy 69th there?
On April 12th.
Right on, man. Happy birthday. Mm-hmm. They have to understand that this is obviously something that's a health issue. You can't take your tent down, you know. The construction guys here, you guys keep a really clean campsite. They've said that you guys can use the bathroom in and out. Yeah. They have no problem with you guys, no issues. We haven't given them any problems over there. They moved a cat in the other day and got him right out of the way. And so everybody's kind of been working together, and I know the community really supports around here. What do you have to say to bylaw? You said they're lying through the teeth here. What have they been telling you?
To me, the bylaw is just trying to use an excuse just to take us off the property. So they say this is going to be built for using, putting property up for us, building property housing for us.
Right.
Why are they kicking us off a property that they're not going to be building on for a little while?
Well, especially when there's no place to go.
When there's no place to go. They should be putting us into a house. Or into a property, someplace even where we're nice and warm instead of already.
Would you take a shelter?
Yes.
You would take a shelter. Okay, so there you go. Like Leon is saying right now, he's a 69-year-old man saying he would take a shelter, which is not even the best option, and not even close to the best option, but he's saying he'd take it. There's nothing to give him. So why are they chasing around people when there is obviously no place for people to go? And they know that. So they're wasting millions of dollars chasing people around in circles. They know there's no place for people to go.
The thing is you can blame the mayor for this problem, because she's the one that come up with all this saying people can't stay in tents and they can't do this, do that.
The deadline to end homelessness.
Yeah.
Which was actually just a deadline, deadline to criminalize.
She hasn't ended it. Well, she's just making it worse.
Right, and she's just actually made it criminalized. That was a date to criminalize homelessness is what that was. So, I mean, that was a nice little just Trojan horse, really. I mean, the push that was with Beacon Hill, that was there. I mean, myself, I got caught up in that, and I got into housing for 2 months, and then when they cleared out Beacon Hill, they kicked me out. So, you know, I know all about it. They're sneaky, and they don't tell you the truth, that's for sure. So what are they telling you right now? Like, what are they saying for housing? Is there nothing?
Just said they'd put us into over at Central Park by the pool for now. That's it. They said they'd make sure we have a safe spot.
Which is just a trap to get you to move and to get you into a 7-7 area.
To get us out of this area.
So they could put a fence up here and that would be that, yeah.
Yeah, well, they want to put up a big fence here.
Well, just they made that plan when a couple of people started camping here, and they realized that they got caught with their pants down here, because honestly, it's the land exchange between the CRD and the school board. So really, this is the bank's land right now.
Well, basically, a school board says it's not against us being here. They like us being here because we keep it clean.
Well, there you go. And I mean, so the school's got no issues. Plus, the school's not even in right now.
No.
It doesn't look like it's going to be for about another year. You know, so I mean, there's literally nobody you're bothering within 100 yards of this area. And I know that the community is reached out to me in my emails and stuff like that, and my Twitter, and told me that they support you guys. So there's no issues. Okay, thanks very much, Leon, for talking to me, man.
Right on.
Cheers.
Homeless idea. 38. Wild stab at it. Here we go. Tonight, we're sitting in the tents right now. Colin's freaking out, just getting out of his tent, so that's how he probably got in.
He's not in the best. Yeah, he got in by waterlog.
Not a happy camper. So we're gonna at least he's moving in, which is good. For the fight.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what, Colin actually is a soldier.
And he is.
He's setting up his camp in the rain, because he's got his damn stubborn. There's no need for him to camp, setting up camp in the rain, because we have places for him to stay otherwise, but
Sometimes we're in the rain, but it's good Scottish weather.
But kind of the mindset the guy's in, insanity a bit, happens out here. You probably listen to more of the generator than you are of us. The generator's right there.
Well, it wears on you. Sometimes you don't have that energy.
No. Okay. This is something. like that.
Hundreds of people in Victoria who were sleeping in tents are now safely indoors with access to health care and support.
But in the city's most iconic green space, tents remain. Some in Beacon Hill Park say they haven't been offered a hotel room, and others are refusing to leave. CTV's Alana Kelly has the latest.
The tents are gone, but the fences remain, trying to keep homeless people out of Pandora Avenue, where eight people were arrested yesterday.
I know there had been warnings that people had to move or move into one of the hotel rooms that was offered. The people who were still camped here weren't going to move willingly.
Charles was at the encampment when it all went down.
Well, the police came in like a, you know, like a goon squad.
We first met Charles a few weeks ago.
I mean, I'm going to have a bed tonight. I'm going to have warmth tonight.
He was just about to move into a hotel and was excited to take a bath for the first time in a long time. But now he's back living in a tent in Beacon Hill Park in the pouring rain.
Because of being honest with them, I lost the room.
Charles admitted he would have his girlfriend come stay with him at the Howard Johnson, and then he claims he wasn't allowed a room.
I want to be out of here. I've been on the street far too long.
Couples are able to stay together at the Comfort Inn, which was bought by the province for $18.5 million. And the hotel is already full, sheltering 65 people from Topaz Park and Pandora Avenue.
If couples come in, we gave each of them a separate room, just in case if they have a falling out or they're having an argument. Couples can choose to sleep in the same room if they want.
More than 300 people have been moved inside to motels, hotels, and the Save on Foods Memorial Center.
For some people, they will never want to go indoors.
And more space is still needed.
Sadly, there never seems to be enough. We have done more in the last little while than we have done in a long time.
Another person we spoke to says he's never been offered a hotel room.
I would have taken anything other than the tent.
The city of Victoria has decided not to enforce bylaws that prohibit 24/7 camping at Beacon Hill Park until June 25th.
I would expect that to be very temporary.
So for now, the couple will stay here.
Plan is to find a place.
As the province and BC Housing says it's trying to secure more temporary spaces. Alana Kelly, CTV News, Victoria.
So I just call you Kevin?
Yep.
All right, Kevin. So just sitting here with my bro Kevin here, and we're just talking the housing situation, and we're looking at Kool-Aid's website right now, and we're kind of gawking and wondering, you know, like, wow, this is pretty big expansion projects they got going on. Where's the money coming from, and why are they kicking people out and stuff like that? I just, that's kind of what we're talking about, and I just asked Kevin if he wants to try, you know, be on the show here, be on the podcast, and he's got a lot to say. He's been, and how long have you been homeless for in Victoria, Kevin?
Ever since I got kicked out of the Johnson building, but before that it was the courthouse, Tent City, and so it's been a while.
So you've been here a long time, right? You've been here a long time then?
Oh yeah.
You were at the courthouse, Tent City?
Yeah.
Oh wow. So then you went to the Johnson Street afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what, you got kicked out of the Johnson Street?
Yeah, they, through their sneaky ways, they charged me with mischief 3 times, and I beat all the charges, but the 3rd time they red zoned me from the building, and then they threw out all my belongings, and then from there I kind of just was downtown, and then I bounced around and ended up out at Beacon Hill a long time ago.
Yep.
And then I actually was able to get housing, but it was through Pacifica, and it was not ideal. It didn't work out. And
so what didn't work out about it? Like,
basically just the landlord, but the manager of the building, right?
Yep.
Or the house.
Oops, sorry.
He just started, started.
Can you step on that?
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. We'll let that part out. Sorry, man.
One sec.
Okay, cool. The manager.
Yeah, the manager, he had his ways of kind of...
Of a Pacifica building?
Well, Pacifica, they got a hold of this one house, and they said, oh, do you have room for me and my girlfriend at the time? And they let us move in, but then it was, you know, just things started happening. Like, it was just, it wasn't cool. I didn't like living there at all, but it was Pacifica who was instructing the manager on how to deal with the situation.
Okay, so it was kind of a subsidiary kind of thing.
They didn't want to see us succeed, right?
And it, And it failed. So
yeah, totally.
Where did Pacifica leave you at that point?
Basically, they just told the manager that if they wouldn't kick us out, like if we wouldn't leave or whatever, just keep calling the cops on us. Really? And then I actually got them on film saying that if we wouldn't leave, they would just say that we were endangering someone and then call the police and I'd be removed. And that situation actually happened where one of the tenants that had moved in said that I had assaulted them. And then they all got together and called the police, and about 8 cops were at the door wanting to talk to me. And I came outside, and I had the video of it, right? So yeah. When I said, just by chance, did the words endangering someone come up? And
right.
They said, yeah, actually. I said, we should watch this video. So I showed it to them, and they were pretty much, that was the end of that. They didn't believe anything they had to say after that.
And so. There was no charges, and there's no, you say any charge, time you were charged, it was dropped.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. In the court of law, it's even, they were dropping the charges. And
yeah,
the most they can get you with is a mischief charge, which is basically willful damage of a piece of property.
And the reason why they did that was basically just to get me on conditions. Because when I lived at the Johnson Building, for the first 4 months,
yep.
I refused to pay them rent. Because I said to them, I don't want to live here.
Yep.
I don't think this building's fit to be lived in.
Fair enough.
And I'm not on welfare, so... I don't know how you're going to get the rent money, right?
So for 4 months, there was some haggling.
Yeah, I said...
How did you end up in your place there from Tent City?
Yeah, basically they showed up and they said, everybody who moves... This is really bad. They said, everybody who moves into the Johnson Building, if you go there, we'll give you $100. But later we found out that they were given, I think it was $1,200 or $1,300 per person.
Wow.
And they kept all that money. So if you think... 150 people moved in,
right?
And let's say it's $1,000 they got, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's 150 grand, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of money, right? And,
sure it is.
And we didn't see any benefits. And one thing that I want to say too is like, all these people that are in the buildings now,
mm-hmm.
that are around supportive housing buildings, they have their rights taken away from them by.
Of course they do.
By being told that they're not allowed to have guests.
With the residential tenancy agreement stands in supportive housing.
Yeah.
We know that.
But
you and I know that.
There's,
I
mean,
there's a lot of people who don't know that.
Sorry. They make them sign up for a program.
Right.
Which, in the program, they basically lose their rights to have guests.
Yep.
But as far as I can see, and if you ask anybody in these buildings, like, there is no program that they've been offered. And there's no success of any... Like, there's nothing. There's no program.
You know what, brother? You're saying the exact same things we do.
Yeah.
And I totally 100% agree with you. Absolutely.
I think that... A good thing to maybe try and find out would be what are these programs and how do you sign up for them?
Right.
And like,
what are they leading to? What kind of programs are they? What's the point of the program?
Exactly, right? Because I can't figure it out.
Yeah, me neither. And they don't tell you what the outcome is,
nope.
Why you're a part of it, what you're part of, how well you're doing in the program. None of that gets discussed.
And I think that if they can't actually come up with something valid.
And what is the program? Is it something we're watching or is it something we're part of?
Well, I would think it would be something that would, you know, aid you in becoming part of, like, you know, being out of support.
What are they screening for? What are they doing? What is this program about? We don't have any idea. And they all follow the program procedure.
Yeah.
And it's also noted that the BC Housing funds these providers,
yeah.
Right? And they're going against the Residential Tenancy Act,
yeah.
Which actually stands at supportive housing. So they're kicking people out, they're evicting people that are clients of BC Housings based on a residential tenancy or infractions on the Residential Tenancy Act. So they're not following what their providers, what their funders are enforcing.
Yeah,
so they can't go against legislation.
They're basically just loopholing it by saying, hey... And they won't let you live there unless you sign up for these programs.
Well, we're not,
right?
We're not going to fund people who are going to disobey legislation.
Well, I know.
That's they're breaking the law.
I know. It's crazy. Like, at the Johnson Building, a bunch of us took them to court, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Over the guest policy.
Yep.
And
won.
And we won that.
Yep.
But then we figured out, well, and if you go to the Johnson Building today, they're going to ask you for ID. They're not going to let you in. You know what I mean? And, like... There's a guest policy there. And
it says that you cannot block guests under the Residential Tenancy Act.
But who enforces it once, right?
You have to keep going back to court.
And that's the thing.
And we have no lawyers to do that.
See?
So this is where we're starting the Street Society, which we're going to pick the best of us to go and make our own case.
And we'll be targeted by them, for sure.
Well, we probably will, but you know what? I'm sick of it.
I don't care. I'll do it.
Right,
They try their best.
Exactly. We'll win. Thanks, Kevin, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Awesome, bro.
Right on.
Cheers.
Fucking sweet. Because, yeah, that's a good point, man. Fucking...
So, there it is. A little blast from the past. What do you think, babe?
Trial and error. I don't know if we're being tried right now or if this is an error, but there's something wrong with the situation when I'm sitting in a park across the street from where I'm supposed to be housed on a Sunday night. Because the other half of me is supposed to be outside. Like, that's some fucked up shit.
It is. I mean, here you hear us plugging away for PC Housing. A little while ago, we worked hard trying to get, awareness out there, and people housed, and try to push to the forefront people that we knew personally that needed help, and I think we did a good job, and I think that we achieved, the awareness building stuff, and I think we're still going strong on that. I mean, there's no there's not any plans on stopping. Full steam ahead. Awareness has got to be raised one way or another, and if this is how people are gonna get it, aware.
I guess then so be it.
Right. If you didn't listen to the podcast and it helps out, then you know what? I'm just gonna keep putting it out there.
So what we're talking about is, so I'm still housed, still at the Comfort where I originally got housed back in December.
Good for you, Mo.
And unfortunately, you are not anymore.
No, I got. I waited for 3 months to go inside. I mean, we beat this drum quite a bit, but I waited for 3 months to go inside in the wintertime outside, and for waiting for 3 years, and then you went inside, and then they said, they waited an extra 3 months to house me. That was really trying on a relationship, just because the dynamics of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Melba had to go inside at that time. She was, you weren't doing very well,
I had two broken ribs. Yeah, it was, pretty fucked up.
Right? And you were, it was pretty rough times, right? I mean, anybody imagine living in a tent, right? Surviving in a tent. So, I mean, here, this is only, how long was I housed for? I think it was like 3 months?
Something like that.
And in that time, I've got to go through the entire process of homelessness again. And I never thought that, I thought, hey, I was pretty veteran at this. It wasn't going to be any kind of a big deal. I was just going to be kind of the same old, same old. And here I find myself being kicked out of the Comfort Inn. I find myself going through all that the whole steps, the whole process. So it's always like a plinko game from hell. It's terrible. And it's basically you feel yourself just dropping, and you can see your, I guess you just see your esteem dropping.
You know what? I gotta say, okay, so all of that aside, due to whatever, they haven't given you reasons, whatever.
Right, okay, that's what I was gonna get into.
All that aside, on that same note, gotta admit, we have to be thankful that, anytime I walk in there and ask for food 24/7, they give it to me.
Yeah.
And they know it's not all for me. Come on.
No, and I know that there's good people that work there, and I'm not at odds with the people that work there. It's just a matter of the harassment that's going on. When I go to see Tony or when I come over to see you, calling the cops immediately and just for no reason, right? It's not necessary, and there's nothing happening, but it's just they escalate these things, and they know that they're doing it. It's a systemic thing.
Yeah.
I tried to say that 4 times, but it's a systemic thing.
I understand.
And I had one of the workers, I won't say any names, but I had one of the workers say the other day, I said, listen, man, why are you out here and escalating the situation? You're coming out and harassing me literally. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here waiting for Melba. And this is what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything out of the normal. Just sitting on my bike waiting for Melba to come out. And, so I can see Tony or whatever, because I'm on the street right now, and
they kicked me out, and they, like I said, we haven't been given an official reason for 3 weeks. So, and this is during an evacuation for a fire. You guys have heard this on the homeless idea. I don't want to beat it to death too much, but they evacuate me, and then they tell me I can't come back in. And then now, when I go there to see my dog, I mean, mind you, every time I have gone there, I haven't been completely 100% chipper. I've let a few F-bombs out and said a few things that I didn't mean out of, you know, frustration.
But that's also part of your disorder.
That's a part of my disability as well.
That's what I mean.
You know, and it's also part of disorder,
part of,
exactly.
Part of
and it's compounding, especially when I think that a normal person in an everyday, I am a normal person, I think. What's normal?
As normal as we all can be.
But I think anybody, given the you know the lengths that I'm going, or that I've been given, right, or that I've been put to, are would be a little bit sort of sanity would be also as well stretched a bit. I mean, so I'm only human, right? And so you know I've made my statement, some mistakes,
like
but no, it's never been anything malicious.
Like I said, like the thing is we got to be thankful that yeah, like they do help us in that.
Wait, so there you go.
In that regard, you know what I mean?
Like, flowers and fishes. Let's wrap it up, Bill.
Yeah. Who do I have flowers for?
You want to come back to that? I'll come back. I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't have flowers or fish.
I'll give you a big flowers and fish heads today. My flowers are going to go to the two officers today that we're with Vila. I was a bit... to the Vic PD officers that were with Bylaw. I'm not too sure the officers' names, but yeah, I was a little bit. I tell you what we approached on. It was about 8:30. The tent was just being taken down, and we were a bit late to take it down. There had the yellow police tape all around where our tent was, and they were folding up our stuff nicely, and looked like they were taking care of it. But they were folding it all up. And this is what we see. We see all my stuff being pounded. And this is just like, just after you basically just started with this stuff, right? This is the stuff to start with. After, you know, you've just accumulated this stuff and now they're seizing it. So you're losing it right away the next morning, right? And it's just, it's very frustrating to see that. So I was, I wouldn't say aggressive, but I would say I was hot.
Definitely upset.
Coming in a little hot.
Yeah.
And so you know the F bombs were flying a little bit, and the so I later on in that I guess melee, no not melee,
in that
interaction, thank you, a very good word, interaction I approached the officers and I said, listen, I know who's gonna win if I fight the law.
Though.
You guys will, and I'm not, you know. Forgive my disorder or whatever, and I said, I just sometimes my mouth goes engaged and my brain doesn't. So it's like I apologize for that, and they were open to that, and actually we were able to come to a cool agreement after that. And I think that Vic PD might help out, you know, giving the Kool-Aid the old stink eye and saying, what's up with this eviction? This is not good. This doesn't look good. Why are you doing these kind of things? And I appreciate that to the VicPD, and thank you very much. So flowers to the two officers. And I'll give the fish heads now. It's to Bylaw, the same crew, but on the different, I guess, side of the badge. I don't know. Because honestly, I asked for my stuff to be, you know, I said, listen, I'm here now. You don't need to impound my stuff. And they decided they were going to impound it anyway. So they just said, no, okay, well, you're here now. You can take your stuff and take your possessions and carry on with your day. Thanks, because we've all taken it. You know, we've accommodated the takedown for the 10th day. We've packed up all your gear, and we were going to punt it down the road. But here you are, so you can take it with you. No, they took it with them. So that's the fish heads for Bylaw. And, you know, that record keeps going.
Two times. For me too. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they know that that's my stuff they were taking. They know that was your tent, but that was my stuff. And they know I'm housed, and that's why they did it.
They kind of gave you an attitude about being housed. What are you doing here? You're housed.
Exactly, and that's the thing, is they know it's just to make my life more difficult. Like, I don't see how anybody has the idea that stressing a person out more or giving a person extra work to do on top of their work is any idea of help.
Well, okay,
or,
this is...
Or like, positive, or I don't know. So that's who my fish heads go to, sorry, but... And you know what? As shitty as it is, you're not going to like this, but whatever. My flowers, I'd have to say, go to some of the staff at Kool-Aid because, yeah, for being as cool as they have been with us in the situation and helping us as much as they possibly can, I guess, you know, given the circumstances and their I guess, position, so to speak.
Cause maybe a petal of a flower can go there, fall off my fish heads or something.
That's, yeah.
So, so pretty icy.
Like I said, it's... There's some of them Jack that Frost have been icy. Cool. So, yeah, yeah, you gotta at least...
I'm not feeling the love from Kool-Aid much, but okay.
Well, no, like I said, not from all of them, some of them.
Okay, fair
you
enough.
Know what I mean? It's like everything, you win, we win, you know. There's not all good in everything, right?
You know what? I love that positive attitude. And with that, we're going to say thank you very much for listening to The Homeless Idea. We really appreciate your listenership. And we appreciate all the support we get from you guys. Thank you
Don't
very much.
Don't worry, be happy.
You know it. All right. Peace. I can't believe we just said that. Okay. Out.
Peace.